Police originally thought a .22-caliber handgun was used in the Alabama liquor store shooting that killed one woman and wounded another. A fingerprint found at the scene helped lead police to Muhammad and his alleged accomplice, John Lee Malvo. But ballistics analysis shows the shooter actually used a .223 round that came from the Bushmaster rifle found in Malvo and Muhammad's car last week. That establishes another link between the two suspects and what may have been the beginnings of their crime spree. But it could do more. An officer at the scene says he saw Muhammad holding a handgun. He did not see a rifle. Police say that could mean a third person fired the rifle shot. Investigators in the Washington area have not ruled out additional suspects, but have no evidence anyone was involved besides the two who were arrested. As the investigation into the crime spree grows more complex, so has the story of Muhammad's past. Police are trying to figure out just how the two supported themselves. That same question gnawed at Reverend Alan Archer.
I just had a sense of some kind that something wasn't right with the man.
Archer runs the Lighthouse Mission in Bellingham, Washington, where Muhammad lived for a time. Archer wondered how a person living in a homeless shelter could afford frequent trips to the Caribbean. So he called the FBI.
What I told them was we had this individual in our mission, and that he was doing a lot of traveling. We had no idea where he was getting the money, and we were really concerned about him.
Police are now investigating whether those trips were part of a document fraud scheme Muhammad may have been running from the island of Antigua. But in those days after the September 11th attacks, Reverend Archer was worried about something much more serious.
I thought John was traveling around country with somebody sponsoring these trips, and I thought that he was probably involved in some kind of an organization that were plotting things against our country.
That was not the only warning the FBI got about Muhammad. Another Bellingham resident was more specific. He told the FBI this summer that Muhammad and Malvo had spoken of plans for a sniper attack against police. The FBI will not disclose exactly what they did about these calls, but this case shows how difficult it is for law enforcement to evaluate tips they do receive. Lawrence Kobolinski of the John Jay College of Criminal Justice says the response may depend on the wording of the tip.
If an individual were to call and say, well, so-and-so is not behaving as most people would, I think law enforcement has an awful lot on their plate, and they simply cannot respond to every call.
The FBI says it tries to pay attention to every tip, but that information may stay with the local FBI office until an actual case file is opened, and that may not happen unless a serious crime is involved. Low-level threats may not appear to be connected until the media draw attention to them. Robert Taylor is a former Maryland cop. He now runs the Taylor Group, which does police training.
So when they discovered things that were going on in Washington, D.C., subsequently individuals and or police entities discover things that may be associated with something they may already be investigating.
Many police officers refuse to even speak about the law enforcement response to the sniper case for fear they'd be accused of second-guessing. And they say it's worth remembering citizen tips can also lead police astray. Sightings of a white van after some sniper attacks turned out to be wrong, and one man's been arrested for lying when he called in an eyewitness report of a shooting. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.